Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3 for Spring Semester 2014. Lecture 25, delivered on May 1, 2014. The title of this lecture is Review for the Final Exam.
Today, review for the final exam. The final exam has the same structure as your midterm exams. There are three parts. Part one is multiple choice. Part two is workout questions, workout problems, and part three is short essay answers. Same rules as always on all three parts. Always give your numerical answers to two decimal places after rounding appropriately, and if it's a percentage, it's after you turn it into a percent that it's two decimal places in your answers, short answers, complete, grammatically correct, spelled sentences, no texting. And it one sentence for each one of those answers, not more than one sentence. Let me go through, first of all, some of the basics. Part one. Now, I would say about half of the questions, I just copy and paste, probably a few more than that, copy and paste from the two exams. I might shuffle the answers around. Probably another fourth of them are like the ones on the multiple choice you've seen, but I just changed the numbers if it's a numerical answer kind of question. So you have seen most of these multiple choice questions before. And of course, I choose the most relevant and always, of course, the ones you had the highest miss rates on to keep you on your toes. Okay, now just structurally for part two. Oh, and there are 30 three-point multiple choice. It's a 200-point exam, but obviously that doesn't really matter too much. It's just the percentage of your final grade that matters. But it's out of the 200 points, 30 three-pointers are multiple choice. Now, I can't tell you the exact number on the workout problems because our fail computer here isn't showing me what if it was, I'd just show you the exam itself just to help you out a little bit, but the USB drives are completely shot on this happy computer, which looks like it was made around the time the Flintstones lived. But anyway, I'll go through one at a time what is on there. Now, I might miss a question or two, but you will have a narrative that will be posted on Saturday night, and that will include information relevant to three different problems on the exam. You'll have a marginal cost of capital type problem. You will have a problem where you are doing ratio analysis on financial statements. You'll be giving me ratios. And then then there will be information pursuant to a question on volatility. Remember, sales volatility, business risk, contribution of operating leverage to business risk, and then financial risk like you did on the first exam. So the information pursuant to those three problems will be provided for you on Saturday night. It would behoove you to do those problems and get your answers written down on your note card. Seriously. Even on this second exam, there were people struggling to get that MCC problem done while they were sitting here instead of doing it beforehand. I'm giving it to you beforehand so you can get it done. Otherwise, you're going to be creamed on time. Okay, you're going to have a bond, a question in the workout problem, bonds. where you'll find a price, yield to maturity, and yield to call. That was exam one material. And that's just calculator stuff, folks. You know, don't just know how to put it into your calculator and you can get your answers. And then that's another question. Okay, you got your MCC, you got your sales volatility, your ratio analysis, then your bond problem. You'll price stock using the D1 over P plus G, that formula, and you will have to calculate your, D1 over K minus G. Whew. Yeah, and you'll have to find your K, your discount rate for future expected cash flows, using the cap M for that. In other words, the question will be, first, what's the discount rate you apply? Second, what's the price of this security? That's your stock problem. You'll also have, in the multiple choice, you'll have it, and then again in the workout problems, you'll have finding net present value or future value. And again, that's calculator. I will expect you to be able to find an effective rate on a loan, just a formula, and a loan payment. And again, this is all calculator work, really. What am I forgetting? What am I missing? What am I missing that I would ask? Don't get old. Kill yourself before you get to my age. You know what? I wanted to give you a complete rundown. Wait. You know what I'm going to do? Okay, I'll stop on that part. Now, the written essays. You're going to be given 7, you choose 5. That gives you a little more room, because even with 5, choose 4, if there are 2 you don't know, then you've lost some serious points. With choosing 5 of 7, that sounds like more work, but you have 2 that you could completely ignore if you don't have any idea what the hell a couple of them are, which always happens. Here's some breakdown of what I would expect. Well, let me go back through that later. Let me go back to go through the multiple choice real quick. It's all stuff that I've asked you before. Expect questions on offerings of securities. Know your Form 10, Form 10K, Qs, 8K, S1, SB1. Know your exemptions from registration. 504, Reg D 504, 505, 506, Reg A. Make sure you know the Securities Act of 1933 versus the Securities Act of 1934. Well, let me stop just yakking here and ask you. What's the difference between the Securities Act of 1933 and the Securities Act of 1934? Do you know?
1 year.
Oh, you're good. He's good. The hell. Do you know? Woman, do you know? Nope.
34 was the rules of buying and selling stocks that were already issued. 33 was how to file a registration statement.
You deserve a cookie. 33 has principally to do with the primary offerings. In other words, when the company sells securities. It's not just stock, it's securities. Because if I issue a bond, that would be, I would register the bond. If I'm a big corporation issuing, let's say, $40 million in bonds, I would file a form for those, a registration statement. Because otherwise, they couldn't trade in the secondary markets. Now, the Securities Act of 1934 is largely governing the trades between people, the secondary market. Okay? Huh?
I kind of missed the first part you said.
Okay, the Securities Act of 1933 is for the primary market, when the corporation raises funds by selling securities. The rules, the many, many rules, the ways they can do it, the way things they can't do. Now, the Securities Act of Securities Exchange Act of 1934 is for when there's buying and selling in the secondary markets. Because when you buy stock or sell stock, you buy a bond or you sell a bond. I mean, you're just buying it from someone else, or you're selling it to someone else. The company is not involved in that, unless the company is buying back its own stock. But even in that case, the company the company's activity is in the secondary market when it does that. So that would be the Securities Exchange Act of 1934, not the Securities Act of 1933. Got the idea? Okay. Okay, that's enough.